Let's pray now and ask the Lord to bless our time in the Word of God. Again, Jeremiah chapter 19, 20, and 21. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you. Surely you're good. Surely you're faithful. Surely you build your church, Lord. And if we would just, I just think, Lord, if we would just step aside and watch you go and follow you, Lord. Be willing to do the work. Put our hand to the plow, but Lord, following you and just letting you take the reins. Us taking the reins from you, Lord, and letting you just go, Lord. Lord, I believe that, boy, your church gets built really strong. And so that's really our desire, Lord. As we go through the Word of God, we want to look to you, Lord, not to any person, not to any psychology, not to anything of education, Lord. We love education, but Lord, we love you a lot more, Lord. We want to hear from you, Lord. And so I just pray that you give us revelation right now, Lord. You reveal revelation, not just education, a revelation of who you are through Jeremiah chapter 19, 20, and 21. May you anoint our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Jeremiah 19, 20, and 21. So guess what the topic's going to be? What has the topic been? Judgment, right? More judgment. Now, why do you think that is so? You know, when you read through books like Jeremiah, and we're going to be in after what? Jeremiah Lamentations. After Lamentations, we're going to be in Ezekiel. You know what the primary, I think, topic is in all those is judgment. Now, why do you think that is? Well, you know, I think it is because, you know, we are so hard-headed. And if I can apply it to myself, you know, we need things to be taken, like, to the nth degree and just really scared out of our wits before we start to listen to the Lord. I think that's our nature. That's man's nature. And this is really what we see in this book of Jeremiah. You know, he's been warning them, right? Over and over and over again. We've had, what, 18 chapters so far of warning? Now, we're going to see, it's going to come to a head even tonight. We're going to see a man named Zedekiah. Who's Zedekiah? He's the last king before they go into exile. We're going to see his name in chapter 21. But it's right there. And Jeremiah, he begins to prophesy that, you know, you guys haven't listened. You're listening to all the false teachers, all the false prophets. What are they saying? Hey, Jeremiah's gone out of his mind, right? He's not preaching the word, right? God is never going to take us into exile. God is never going to judge us. We're God's people, right? That's what they're telling each other, and that's what the false teachers are telling us. And so, telling them, and so they're believing the false teachers, but Jeremiah is one of the lone prophets, right? He's telling them the truth, and they don't want to hear the truth, but it's going to be brought right to the head there, right? They're going to see the siege right around them, Nebuchadnezzar. And then they're going to begin to fear. Okay, so we're going to see right there in chapters 19, 20, and 21. We're going to read tonight. Okay, so in chapter 19, we're going to see another illustration, a prophecy through illustration. Last week we looked at the potter and the clay. What was the potter and the clay? Well, remember, who's the potter? It's God, right? Who's the clay? Us. What did he say? I found the pot was marred. And so what did he do? He started all over. And that's a prophecy to Israel. But remember we looked at that. That's what the Lord did to us, right? Does it say to resurrect the old? No, it says to reckon the old dead, right? He breaks us, but he what? He puts us back together, molds and shapes us, gives us his spirit. Okay, so that was the kind of picture that we applied it even to our own lives. That's what God wants to do with Judah right now, the southern tribes, because he knows that they're not going to repent, right? And so there's always going to be a faithful remnant, but he's going to start all over again. And how he's going to do that, it's going to be through judgment. He's going to allow them to be taken into exile. So that's really kind of the context here. Now in chapter 19, he's going to give another vision. He's going to give a prophecy by illustration. He's going to talk about a broken flask, okay? Now, verse 1, chapter 9 says, "Thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen vessel and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests." Now, those are the leaders, right? Elders of the people and the elders of the priests. Take these ones, right, and give them this prophecy. All right? It says, "And go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah." So who's he prophesying this? The kings of Judah. He's prophesying to the priests, right? All the religious leaders, right? And all the elders. Okay, so he has some words of basically correction, right? And he's gonna give it to all the elite, all the leaders in Israel there, in Judah. He says, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle. Now, are they going to believe it? He's saying, I'm going to bring judgment on this place. Catastrophe is going to hit because you've been worshiping idols and you haven't relented. You haven't listened to the prophecy, the word that has been given to you, right? Now, I'm thinking about this. You know, I'm thinking about my own life, how long it took me to come to know the Lord, right? But I'm thinking about the lives that I meet now. So often, this is kind of the recurring theme, right? The Lord continues to give us his word. He continues to show us, you know, what's going to happen if we continue in our way. But what do we oftentimes do? We say, well, it's not that bad. Or when we get in trouble, right, we cry unto the Lord. But then when he takes care of that trouble, we kind of start to what? Go back into our old ways. This is kind of the mantra that they're doing, right? And so it's coming to head. And he's going to bring about judgment. Now we're going to see in chapter 21, right? He's going to put Nebuchadnezzar right around the walls there to besiege them, right? And you know what Zedekiah is going to do? He's going to seek the Lord. Can you imagine that? Why? Because he knows that, man, time's running out. Now, can you relate to that? You know, when I have time, oftentimes I take the time. But when I don't have time, when I see something right before me, I say, oh, Lord, you know what I'm talking about? See, that's our nature, right? We put things off until the Lord puts it right before us and he scares the living daylights out of us. You ever been there? Well, I got to tell you, some people are there even probably tonight. Right? God has brought before them, has warned them over and over and over and over again, but they still haven't been broken. I mean, that's what this prophecy is going to be, the broken flats. Right? He says, I'm going to break you. Right? Now, I think about a broken flask, which is going to be the illustration here. You know, flasks, there's strong ones and there's not strong ones. Now, what would it be better to be? Not a strong flask, right? You're broken easier, right? You're broken sooner. But then there are ones that are very strong, very set in their ways. And they don't want to be broken. You know, I think of Pharaoh. That's the one that comes to mind. Remember Pharaoh? Every time, right? Another plague comes. Oh, you know, Moses, call your God off. Calls God off. And he says, hey, you know what, Moses? You can't go. Then another plague comes. Oh, tell your God that I'm sorry. And then what? He's relieved, right? He says, Moses, you still can't go. Remember that over and over again. See, he was a strong man, wasn't he? A strong man. I think of that verse that, you know, Jesus said, right? When this rock falls upon, it's going to be crushed. Right? If it doesn't break you, it's going to crush you. You understand? This is really where he's going to put Zedekiah. We're going to see. He refuses to be broken. Maybe he's strong in himself. Maybe he has a lot of confidence in himself, but God is going to crush him. Matter of fact, Zedekiah, he watches all his family be executed. And then they take his eyes out. You think that got his attention? He was crushed. That's the historical account. And so, even now, Jeremiah is presenting this opportunity to repent. He says, you're going to be broken. This flask, it's you. This flask, it's Jerusalem. You guys are going to be broken. Don't believe the false words, the false hopes. Right? You're going to be broken. Now, I don't know about you. I'd rather be broken earlier than later. Lord, right? But so often, right, we're never broken. Right? We keep on going on, right? As soon as that pressure gets relieved from us, we go right back to our same ways, right? We become confident in ourselves. And so, notice he says, because, verse 4, they have forsaken me and made this an alien place because they have burdened sins in it to other gods. So we know that it's idolatry, right? What is idolatry? Remember, it's the love of self, really. Remember, you built idols. They look like you. They act like you. You built your own gods, right? And so this is what they're doing. They're worshiping self, right? It's about me, myself, and I. We talked about this earlier. And so this is really why he's bringing about judgment. He's giving them chances time to repent, but now it's come to the end here. So it says that you worship gods whom neither they and their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. And so because they start to worship these pagan gods, they start to do these really, 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 I mean, imagine burning your own children in the fire. They started to adopt the pagan rituals, okay? So this is what sin does, right? It takes you down a road where you can't get back. And so the Lord has been merciful, but he's not going to allow this to continue, right? He's not going to allow you to continue forever, right? There's going to be a time when judgment comes. Therefore, behold, verse 6, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And you can look all the way back in Jeremiah chapter 7, right around 31, 32, 33. You know, he prophesies this same prophecy, so he's saying that this is going to happen. So he's giving them ample warning. And he says that this valley of Hinnom, this Tophet, which really literally means high place, it's going to be a high place, it's going to be a cemetery. Basically, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and they're going to bury all of you in this place. It's going to be a mass cemetery. That's the prophecy, right? And so verse 7 says, and I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give as meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. So there's going to be so many bodies there, right? They won't even be able to bury them. And so the carnivorous birds are going to just basically feed, have a feeding frenzy. This is verse 8. I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all its plagues. Verse 9. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. Cannibalism. Now, we're going to see this really described in Lamentations. You know, you can go to Lamentations 2 and Lamentations 4. We're not going to go there. Lamentations is the book right after Jeremiah. It's written by Jeremiah, and he's lamenting. He's actually seeing this fulfilled. And so, you know, when back in the day, you know, when they would lay a siege, that was one of the ways that they would conquer a city, right? They would lay a siege because it was all walled city. And so they would surround that walled city. They wouldn't let food come in. They wouldn't let water come in. And so they would starve them to death. This is what happened. Nebuchadnezzar actually did it three times, right? I think it was 605, 597, and also 586. When 586 is when Jeremiah, right? That's the last one when he comes in and desecrates the temple. But he's starving the city, right? And so in Lamentation, he's recording that they're actually starting to exercise cannibalism. And this is prophesied right here. Can you imagine that? That's how bad it gets, right? And it says, I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege and in the desperation with which their enemies and those who seek their lives shall drive them to despair. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men. Now I want you to highlight verse 10. It comes right after that, right? Then. What's going to break them? Can you imagine? Now, I don't know about you. I don't even want to get near that place before I'm broken. But oftentimes, people, it takes something like that to break somebody. And, you know, oftentimes when it takes that to break you, it's breaking everyone around you. Hey, just let it go. Let yourself go. Humble yourself. And bow yourself to the Lord. Don't worship yourself anymore. It's not about you. It's not about your strength. You're not that strong. To be honest, none of us are. And we're going to see Zedekiah, right? Out of this strong king. Boy, he's going to flee. He's going to flee like a little child. Trying to escape. And then they're going to catch him. He's going to go through that waterway, right? He's going to run with his family. Zedekiah's, and then Nebuchadnezzar, they're going to catch it. They're going to take him back to Babylon. Right? He's going to execute his family right before him, and they're going to gouge out his eyes. All because he didn't relent. then you shall break the flask. What's it going to take to break you? Huh? What do you think? As soon as maybe that pressure gets relieved, right? Do you guys start to get confident again? I've always said this, right? A little confidence, a little knowledge, it's the worst combination. You start to think, hey, I got to figure it out. And then the Lord what? He brings something that breaks you. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of men who go with you. Verse 11, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel. Okay, you see the illustration here. A flask, probably a strong flask, right? He's going to break it. And he says, this is you, I'm going to break you, which cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, till there is no place to bury. Now, we know that there's going to be a remnant, right? We see that remnant in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, in Daniel. There's a remnant that returns, right? But as that other illustration, right? The potter, right? You saw the pot, right? The vessel was marred, and he started all over. This is kind of an extension of that, right? He's going to break them, and he's going to start all over. And he's going to take this remnant, right? And he's going to bring them back into the land. Verse 12. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like the place of Tophet, because of all the houses on whom the roofs they have burned incense to all the host of heaven and poured out drink offerings to other gods. Idolatry, right? Worshipping of self. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people. Where does he, when he says stood in the court of the Lord's house? He's standing in the court of the temple. Right? And he's prophesying this for all to hear. Verse 15. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on this city and on all her towns, all the doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words. Now, what does stiff neck mean? What's a modern translation of stiff necked? Hard-headed, right? Somebody hits you across the head and you don't feel it, so they have to hit you harder. And they have to hit you harder until finally what? Oh, that hurts. Stiff neck. Yeah, he's going to hit him. Stiff-necked. Right? And so he's going to bring devastation. Pastor Chuck, I want to read this. Stiff-necked. He says, the clay was marred in the hands of the potter. It was stiff. It would not yield. Are you stiff? Do you not yield to the Lord? They have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words, the Lord said. And that's really the issue, right? They're so hard-headed. They're so stiff-necked. They can't hear the word of the Lord. You can go so far in your rebellion and your resistance to God, but there comes a time when God says, okay, and he will hold out his hand to you. He will give you warnings. He will plead with you. But if you just continue stubbornly in your ways, then there is nothing else for him to do. In his righteousness, he must judge. Okay, so he's going to judge. The time of mercy, when it runs out, there's going to be judgment, okay? All right, let's keep on going. Chapter 20 says, now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Now, is he going to like what Jeremiah's prophesying or not? Notice he's what? He's a priest. He's not going to like it because it's a word of correction. You know, when we don't like something, what do we usually do? Like, when you don't like when somebody says, what do? You turn it off, right? This is what they're doing to the Lord. They don't like what the Lord says, so what? They turn him off. They look to get people to tell them what they want to hear. This is what Pashur is doing. So notice this. This is then Pashur, what? Verse 2, struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks. I do not want to hear the word of the Lord, so I'm gonna silence you. I do not want the truth. That's what he's saying. You ever notice that? Oftentimes people, right? They get excited about the truth that they like, but the truth that they don't like, Right? They skip that. Right? They pick and choose. Right? Can we pick and choose? No, we want to go through, right? Whatever the Word of God says. And we want to apply it to myself, right? I can't say, hey, the Word of God is for you, and not apply it to myself. That's what we're good at, right? Here's the Word of God for you. What about me? Right? Apply it to myself. Now, Pastor doesn't want to hear it. So he strikes Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it happened on the next day that Pasher brought Jeremiah out of the stocks. And then Jeremiah said to him, the Lord has not called your name Pasher, but Magor Masabib. You know what that means? Do you have a study Bible? It means what? Fear on every side. Isn't that interesting? Jeremiah says, I'm going to name you fear on every side. You see, this man is fearful. He's fearful of the Word of God. So what does he do? He turns it off. That's what we do oftentimes, right? We only go to a person that's going to give us what we want to hear. But if it's the truth that I don't want to hear, I'm going to turn it off. They're fearful of the truth. They don't want to know the truth. And so this man Pasher, even though he's a priest, supposed to be a priest, right? Jeremiah prophesies, you know, your name is fear on every side. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself. You're going to be scared of yourself. Fear. You're going to be gripped with fear. Fear is the antithesis of what? Faith. It is. When we have fear, it's the opposite of faith. Now, I know why we have fear. We don't see. But faith, you don't see, right? Faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. But we know God is real. God is true, right? But we don't see him. We can't handle him. But we know God is true, right? So we have fear oftentimes when we don't what? Don't handle something, right? Can't physically see. Can't physically hear. We have fear. And so this man Pasher, he's a priest, but he has all this fear, right? His fear because he doesn't trust God's word. It says, for thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall see it. I will give all Judah into your hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. Can you imagine this man? He's going to see it. He heard the word of God, right? And he's going to actually see it. Can you imagine the fear that's going to grip him when he actually sees the truth exercise? And so this is what is being described. He says, you're going to have fear on every side. The word of God is going to come to pass. Judgment's coming. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city, all its produce and all its precious things, all the treasures of the kings of Judah, I will give into the hand of their enemies, who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. Now, we know that this literally does come to pass, right? Now, at the time he's prophesying, it's right there. Matter of fact, when we look in chapter 21, that the siege is coming right around them. And Zedekiah starts to, oh, Jeremiah, tell me what the Lord's going to do. Isn't that interesting, right? He goes to Jeremiah when he starts to see exactly what he prophesied is coming to pass. And so verse 6 says, and you, Pasher, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. You shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die, and be buried there, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Who's prophesied lies? Him and his friends. He's a priest. He is not telling them the truth. What is he telling them? What is he telling himself? What he wants to hear. You know, you can read this in your own time, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul warns Timothy, there's going to be a time in the church when people, they're going to heap up teachers for themselves to tell them what they want to hear. They don't want the truth. They're fearful of the truth. They love themselves and they love to feed their flesh what they want. And they don't want to be corrected. And so in the latter days, he warns Timothy, the church will get teachers and prophets that will not teach the truth, but they'll teach the lie so that the people can live and continue to ravish in sin and say it's not sin. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The itching ears, right? teaching, right? Heap up for yourself teachers that are going to scratch your itching ears. And so this is the prophecy that Jeremiah gives to this priest pastor. Now, notice this in verses 7 through 18. It's a record of Jeremiah basically being the only one. He feels like he's the only one giving the truth, right? Everybody's against him. But he's standing. Remember we looked at this. Remember at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 1, he's called, right? Remember what the Lord said? And he's a young man, probably in his teenage years. The Lord said, you know what? Nobody's going to hear you. Nobody's going to listen to you. But I want you to go and give them the truth. Right? Don't be fearful of them. Go to the kings. Go to the priests. Go to the prophets. Tell them the word of God. Don't be fearful, though, right? Give them the word of God. And so now this is after kind of he's done that, right? And you see Jeremiah's heart. He says, oh, Lord, you induced me. And I was persuaded. You told me, right? You talked me into it, Lord. And I answered the call. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. And so the Zen says, you know, Lord, I kind of maybe didn't want to do it. But you're stronger than me. And you prevail. I answered the call. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. Can you imagine that? Mocking, right? You're trying to do the will of the Lord, do the Lord's work, and everyone's mocking you. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me. A reproach and derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. So what is he saying? He said, Lord, I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. Ever been there? Man, these people, I'm not going to do it. Right? Now check out what he says. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. You see, the one that is truly called by God will answer the call. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. The one that is truly called by God will answer the call. It's in his bones. It's in his heart. He can't not. He can't not. Double negative. He has to. He has to answer the call. And this is Jeremiah. So this is how you know you're called. No matter what comes, you can't not. You must do it. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced, then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me. Now, isn't that the key? The Lord is with me. It doesn't matter. The Lord is with me. This is the key, people. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. So his hope is what? In the word of God. His hope is in the promise of God. Even though everything around him he's seeing, right? They're mocking me. They're going to kill me. But his hope is what? His trust is in God's word. People, that's why you have to know God's word and God's promises. Because no matter what you see, no matter what emotion you feel, is he emotional? Yeah. But he says, I'm gonna stand on the word of God. Right? And he's going to begin to worship. Now, this is a good... I want to read you this comment by Pastor Chuck in his Word for Today Bible. He says, the right perspective. This is really good. He says, Jeremiah wanted to quit. He did not want to speak anymore because he heard many people mocking him. They were so angry at what he was saying, and they said, if you say another thing, we're going to report it. They were setting traps for him. They were lying in wait for him. But in the midst of this, Jeremiah spoke confidently because he pulled his eyes off of those threats and off of those people and set them on the Lord. He pulled his eyes off of those people and off of those threats and onto the Lord. This is the secret, Pastor Chuck says, to turning your despair into confidence. How this changes your whole view. You will get the right perspective when you take your eyes off the problem and get them onto God. Sounds a little bit too easy, right? But you know what? It works. And I forget, I need to look this up, but you know, there's a study that, and this was years ago, so it's probably changed, but they did a study about, like, it's something like a large percent, like over 80% or something of the things people worry about never happen. Have you read that study? There's a study, I mean, but we spend, what, 100% of time worrying about all these things, and it never really happens. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the Lord. Anxiety attacks, right? Get ourselves off of ourselves, get our eyes off and onto the Lord. We need to get the right perspective. Take your eyes off the problem and get them onto the Lord. Jeremiah realized the Lord was with him, and therefore his persecutors could not prevail. You see, he was feeling it, right? Pretty emotional, right? But he says, you know what? I know what the Lord called me to do. I can't help but not do it. Gets his eyes on the Lord. And this is what we're going to see as they start to worship. It says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly, verse 11, ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart. Now, when it says see the mind and heart, It means to see the most inner parts, right? When it says mind and heart, it's actually literally the kidney, like it's the most inner parts. The fundamental being of who you are, right? That's what the Lord sees, right? But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind, the innermost parts, the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. Now here we go, verse 13. What does he do? He begins to worship. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get your focus on the Lord, and that's what worship does. Get your mind off of that problem and onto the Lord. And you know what? That problem is not going to seem like a problem. I guarantee you. When you see the glory of the Lord, that problem is going to look a lot smaller. Might still be a problem, but it's not going to consume you. You ever see somebody in a panic and then they can't breathe? You know what happens when you're in a panic and can't breathe? You lose. It's like, you know, when somebody's in the water and they're panicking, you know what's happening? They're dying. Now who's killing them? They are. They're killing themselves. You know, if they just relax, you know, they'll probably float. Right, you just spread out your hands, right? Probably float. But what do? You panic. And you kill yourself. You drown yourself. That's what we do. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the Lord. And you know what? He's going to pull you out. He's going to minister to you. He's going to save you if you just look to him. And so sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Now, this is the depth of despair that we see, right? And he's worshiping, right? Ever been in really deep despair? Look what he's doing. He's worshiping. This is the depth of despair. I mean, they're going to kill him. They're going to throw him in a cistern, right? In a well to die, right? Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Should have never been born, he's saying. That's how bad it is. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overdrew and did not relent. Let them hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb. He says, it's better I didn't live. That's how bad it is. That my mother might have been my grave, and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? See, this is the depth of despair that he's in. Now, what is he doing as he's feeling this? He's worshiping and he's remembering the word of God, the promises of God. He's not making decisions on emotion. He's praying, right? He's worshiping. And he's remembering the promise of God, what he's called to do. Right? He's burning in his bosom. He has to say the word of God. Even if it costs him his life. There's no fear, right? He's answering the call of God. But this is the depth of despair, right? He's going through. And this is how he gets out of it, right? He knows the word of God. He remembers the call. And he begins to worship. Good words of wisdom for us. All right, chapter 21. Now it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah. Who's King Zedekiah? Now, I don't know if Frank still has this reference here. If you look at this sheet of the kings, the southern tribes of Judah and the northern tribes here, up here. I don't know if you can put that up, Frank. I didn't give you much notice. But all that to say is if you look on the leftmost side, the last king is Zedekiah. Right? The last king. Zedekiah, right? And so Zedekiah is the one that gets taken into exile. Okay, so all the prophecy. Notice Jeremiah is prophesying through all these kings, right? Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and then finally Zedekiah. So there's all this warning. If you repent, if you relent, right? God's not necessarily going to judge you, but they know. He knows. God's word just told them that they're not going to listen to you. And so it comes to head right here, Zedekiah. Finally, Zedekiah is going to see Nebuchadnezzar's army around. Well, when is Jeremiah prophesying? Well, we know that they go into exile 586 B.C., right? 586 B.C., yeah. That's the time where they go in, right? And Jeremiah's prophesying. But prior to that, 597 B.C. is when Ezekiel was taken in exile. Prior, right? So Ezekiel's prophesying from Babylon, the same thing, right? Don't listen to those false prophets that you're going to be taken in exile. But he's already been exiled. And then Daniel was taken, what, in 605 B.C., and he's ministering right in the court to Nebuchadnezzar. So this is the third seizure, right? And so this is what we're reading in chapter 21. Zedekiah, he's the last king before finally they go in and they level Jerusalem, they level the temple, right? And they kill everybody, almost everybody. And maybe a few get taken into exile. But so many have been taken to exile prior already under Ezekiel's when in 597 B.C. Okay, so right now it's in 586 B.C., I believe, is when the temple is desecrated. And so right here is what we see in chapter 21. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him. Now, why is King Zedekiah sending to Jeremiah? Because he's scared. He's saying, oh no, he's seeing the siege, and he is scared. Now, isn't that kind of interesting? When did you call upon the name of the Lord? I know when I do, and I'm scared. The Lord broke me. See, what is it going to take for you to truly be broken? Is it just not just he's going to relieve it and you're going to get back into your old kind of, it's all about me. I'm confident in me. I'm strong in me. When are you truly going to be broken? Now, this is Zedekiah. He's truly broken. And he says, you know what? Get Jeremiah. What's going on? Right? The word which came to Jeremiah, the Lord, from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent to him. Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaselah, the priest, saying, please inquire of the Lord for us. They want to know now, right? Reminds you of, remember Saul, King Saul? And what happened? The Lord was silent. He has passed the point of no return. And so it says, please inquire of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, makes war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful works, that the king may go away from us. Why is he going to the Lord? Is it truly to know the truth? It's interesting, huh? Let me ask you this. Why do you call upon the name of the Lord? Is it to just get out of your trouble? Or is it, you know what, Lord? It doesn't even matter anymore. I just want you. You know, it's an interesting kind of question to ask. Why do we call upon the name of the Lord? Is it for me? Or is it just because I want to love him? Then Jeremiah said to them, thus you shall say to Zedekiah. Here it comes. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, with which you fight against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who besiege you outside the walls. And I will assemble them in the midst of this city. I myself will fight against you. Oh, my goodness. You see, if you fight against the Lord, he's going to fight against you. What is it going to take to break you? I myself will fight against you with an outstretched arm, with outstretched hand, and with a strong arm, even in anger and fury and great wrath. I will strike the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. Verse 7, and afterwards, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, his servants and the people, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence and the sword and the famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those who seek their life. And he shall strike them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them or have pity or mercy. Now this literally comes to pass. Zedekiah's family, they're executed right before him. And as I mentioned, and then they take his eyes out. I'm going to cross-reference toward the end in a passage in Ezekiel on this, okay? Verse 8 says, now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who remains in this city shall die by the sword. That's interesting. The false prophets say to stay in the city. God is going to deliver you. God is not going to judge his people. God is always going to deliver his people. Sounds pretty good, right? Sounds spiritual. But the word of the Lord is indeed this, that if you stay here, you're going to die. If you allow them to take into exile, you're going to live. Right? So he's giving them, right, a word, a way of life and a way of death. If you want to die, stay here. If you want to live, just go into exile. He who remains in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and defects to the Chaldeans who besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be as a prize to him. The only thing that's going to be a prize is his life. He's going to go into exile. It's going to be a hard life. But he'll have his life. Okay? That's the word of the Lord. Now, the question is, are they going to receive it? Are they going to receive it? You know, the question is, when the word of the Lord comes to you, are you going to receive it? Verse 10, for I have set my face against this city for adversity and not for good, says the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And concerning, verse 11, the house of the king of Judah, say, hear the word of the Lord, O house of David. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him who is plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Lest my fury go forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Verse 13, behold, I am against you, O inhabitant of the valley and rock of the plain, says the Lord, who say, who shall come down against us? Notice their haughtiness, right? Their pride. Oh, who's going to come down, right? Take us. Or who shall enter our dwellings? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, says the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forest, and it shall devour all things around it. Now, regarding, in closing, verse 7. And again, this is, I'm going to read, this is a really good observation by Pastor Chuck, and it has to do with a cross reference in Ezekiel, a prophecy, the same prophecy. Verse 7, let me read this again. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 7 says, and afterwards, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah the king, the last king, right, of Judah, his servants and the people, and such as are left in this city, from the pestilence and the sword and the famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, right? Now, There's also a companion prophecy in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13. Mark this in your notes. You can read this when you get home, okay? Let me read you. This is a comment by Pastor Chuck, okay? And he says, these prophecies in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13, and the prophecy right here in 21, verse 7, they would seem to be conflicting, but they're not, okay? And the reason I want to read this to you, because God's word, you better believe it, even though it doesn't seem like, right? That's right. You better believe God's word. Take it for its face value, right? He writes this, Jeremiah prophesied, Zedekiah, you are going to be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now, Ezekiel prophesied that Zedekiah would not see Babylon. That's Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13. According to Josephus, because Jeremiah predicted Zedekiah was going to be taken as a captive to Babylon, and Ezekiel, who was recognized as a prophet of God at the same time, prophesied Zedekiah would never see Babylon, Zedekiah interpreted this as the prophets contradicting themselves and thus did not believe them. Interesting. One prophet said he would never see Babylon, and the other said he would be carried away to Babylon. And they were both speaking in the name of the Lord. So what happened? Well, when Jerusalem fell to Nebuchadnezzar, Zedekiah and his family escaped through a tunnel out of the city. They tried to escape down to the area of Jericho. But word got to Nebuchadnezzar that Zedekiah and his family were escaping. So they went out, caught them, and brought them back to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar killed Zedekiah's sons as Zedekiah was watching, as prophesied. And then he gouged out Zedekiah's eyes and took him as a captive to Babylon. So he killed his family as they were fleeing right around Jericho, and they gouged out Zedekiah's eyes. You know what happened? Then he took Zedekiah to Babylon, but he never saw it. So Ezekiel's prophecy was fulfilled. Zedekiah never saw Babylon because his eyes were gouged out. But Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled as well. Also, Zedekiah was taken as a captive to Babylon. These seemingly conflicting prophecies were both fulfilled. Now, I don't know about you. When I read things like this, it tells me this is God's word. And if this is God's word, we should read it. And we should take it in. And we should walk in it. Amen? Let's pray, Lord. We thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, apply this word to our own lives, Lord. A broken flask, Lord. Are we that flask that needs to be broken so that you would start all over again? Help us, I pray. The pride, Lord. The strength. Self-strength, self-pride, Lord. It really is our destruction. And I would pray for anyone that is tuned into the live stream, Lord, that feels that he or she are okay or strong enough, can kind of do it on their own, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that your spirit would come upon them and reveal to them that they're not so strong. They're not so smart. Oh, Lord, that you love them and your desire is that they would yield to you, bow to you, Lord. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that no one tuned into this live stream would be brought to that place of judgment. Lord, for your word says you desire mercy. That's your desire. The judgment is really a foreign work in your heart. It's not something that you desire to do, but it's something that you do. We see in Scripture, you will do. As a person continues to deny your word, continues to go their own way. So Lord, I pray mercy, Lord. But Lord, I pray that there'd be a strong mercy that goes out to those that need to repent. They need to come back to you, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?